Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the president visits Yosemite National Park and U.S. airlines are flying to Cuba soon.
Tipping while traveling has become not only a major petty cash expense, but there's the dilemma of who to tip and when. Chris Elliott is on hand to address that somewhat controversial issue at 3:20.
At 3:35, we'd love to hear about your favorite travel adventure with your father. Call and share your story. Everyone who gets on the air wins a $25 American Express gift card.
Steve LaRose's What's Going On has become a regular feature on the Travel Guys. You can find out what's happening in and around the Sacramento area with Steve at 3:50.
To all the dads, along with any man who has ever been a father figure to someone, happy Father's Day. Thank you for spending part of it with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
With the show. Welcome, everyone. You've got the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations on your radio. Again, happy Father's Day. Thanks for taking a moment out of your day. I know a number of people will switch on the radio in between this and that. So if you're on your, you know, running out to pick up ice for the barbecue this afternoon, thanks for joining us. And it's okay if you, when you get home, if you just sit in your car and listen to the rest of the show.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you're driving around and your favorite song comes on or there's some news story or they've teased something and you get to your destination, you can't get out of the car because you're trapped in the automobile by the radio. So if the Travel Guys do that for you, good for us. How are you, Mr. Romano?
Doing well. I want to let everyone know that there were a few features that we had scheduled for last weekend's show, but of course, KFBK being on top of the news like they are with wall-to-wall coverage of the horrific shootings in Orlando. Some of that particular parts of that show will be rebroadcast at a later date. And if you went to, of course, travelguysradio.com for the podcast, there will not be one for last week.
There wasn't one. There wasn't a program last week.
There certainly wasn't. Mark, you've been on the road. Let's see. When we talked to you last, you were off to the Hamptons and Chicago.
I took a bunch of sports leisure travelers. I actually took, Chris and I took 22 women and one gentleman to the Hamptons. Okay. And spent a few days out there. The Hamptons, of course, are the getaway for the upper crust of the New York area. Mm-hmm. It's where they go in July and August. It's kind of a short summer season, but people who live out there have a lot of cash. There's no other way to describe it. It is a rather upscale area. But on the fringes of that season, in June and perhaps September, you can visit and the prices aren't quite as strong and the crowds aren't quite as big. And it's not quite so overwhelming and overbearing. And it's a lovely place to visit. And we hit perfect weather. And we were down in the Hamptons for 3 days. We're at the Montauk Yacht Club and at Claudio's, the longest family-owned restaurant in the country. In Greenport, in the Hamptons, this restaurant has been owned by the family since 1870 something. Mm-hmm. So that's about almost 150 years. My goodness, that's a long time. But stayed at a lovely place, the Sag Harbor Inn, for 3 nights. Went to the races at Belmont Racetrack. Mm-hmm. Part of the Triple Crown. Had a wonderful day there, and then the folks finished with a night in New York City to see the new show that the Rockettes have for the summer at Radio City Music Hall. And I did not go with them, but they all came out with huge smiles on their face. So it was a wonderful show and a good week. We had perfect weather. I mean, you just couldn't have asked for better weather. So it's always good judgment, you know, when you travel, to travel when the weather's good.
Absolutely.
So when you're picking your travel 6 or 7 months in advance, it's kind of a pot shot that, you know, you have to. But one thing a good travel counselor can tell you, in this case, it's a tour company that people were traveling with, is they should be going at a time when the weather is good and the prices are good, and they should be trying to find that wrinkle in the schedule that provides both a fairly good price and fairly good weather. And in this case, we got lucky and hit both. So we had a very good time out in the Hamptons. So thanks to all the folks who went traveling with us.
All right. Well, let's jump in. We got a lot to cover today. So let's move on. Fire up the music. time for Mark Hoffman and today's travel news.
The lead story here, Tom, is something kind of interesting. Usually when you see somebody doing a study about why people do or don't do something, the study usually isn't necessarily done by the people themselves that are part of the study. In this case, the American Society of Travel Agents did some research to find out why are people using or not using travel agents. And what they found is, it's kind of interesting. I guess it doesn't really surprise me a whole lot. They say that people who use travel agents tend to have higher trip budgets, and they're looking to agents because they have a more complex trip or they're going internationally, someplace where the language is different or they don't understand. That all makes sense. We kind of advocate that. They found that 22% of travelers had used a travel agent to book a trip in the last 12 months, which is up considerably from a few years ago. The reasons people use a travel agent: I like organizing my own itinerary. I prefer to do my own research. I can organize the best trip. The best details are online. And so all I would say to you is that for the small fee, really, that you pay a travel agent. Now, this is assuming that you find a good travel agent, somebody who really can add value to your travels, someone who can point out, you know, what you're doing here is maybe there's a better way to do this, and here it is, and let you make the choice. Whether it saves you money, saves you time. We've pointed out that time on vacation is worth a lot of money.
There you go.
And so anyway, I thought that was kind of an interesting study that these travel agents themselves did a study to find out why people were or, and more importantly, were not coming to them. But I'm a big advocate of using a travel agent. That's not the business that my company necessarily is in. But if you're doing independent travel and it's something more than just a plane ticket and a hotel reservation, get a professional to do it. And of course, the other thing is, if you can avoid using online travel agents or third-party booking people, don't do it. Those people will not be there to help you when you get in trouble.
There you go. And I think that is the bottom line.
That is really the bottom line. U.S. Airlines are getting approval to fly to Cuba. It's going to happen by December. Six U.S. Airlines, American, Frontier, JetBlue, Southwest, Sun Country, and Silver Airways have been approved to start flying to nine Cuban cities other than Havana starting in the fall. They're going to fly from Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Chicago, Minneapolis, Philadelphia, to go to all of these different Cuban cities. Interestingly enough, the Silver Airways, which is a regional airline in Miami, got most of the approval. They got nine routes. And all I can say to people who live in, if you're going to Cuba and your flight involves a flight with Silver Airways,
right,
my prayers are with you. That's all I can say. Not that you're going to crash or anything, but the reliability of that particular airline in Florida is legendary. Southwest argued that they could bring the lowest fares. American said that they have the Miami hub, so they have the easiest feed. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see. That will all start in December. American Airlines are going to Cuba. Speaking of airlines, airports, and the like, the LaGuardia facelift officially started last week. Vice President Joe Biden, who had formerly called it a third world country air facility, was on hand to do with part of the opening ceremonies, if you will, of they're going to redo the airport, $4 billion renovation. It will double the ability for flight operations there. They're actually going to tear down the terminal and move it to where the parking garage is now, if you're familiar with LaGuardia Airport.
That's a big rebuild.
It's going to be a huge, huge project. LaGuardia will probably be a zoo for the next 4 or 5 years, but when it gets done, it will replace what is really, truly an eyesore. You heard the mention by Andy in the news that President Obama is in Yosemite National Park, the first president to visit Yosemite in over 50 years. The last president to go there was, wait a minute, I saw this, John Kennedy in 1962. So President Obama in Yosemite National Park celebrating the centennial of the Park Service. Uber has announced that they are partnering with Capital One on a loyalty program of what is expected to be the first of many credit card connections for Uber in terms of a loyalty or a frequent traveler program. This particular one will allow you to have every 10th ride free, costing up to $15 if you have a Capital One Quicksilver or Quicksilver One credit card. The program currently will run through March of 2017. So if you're an Uber rider and you have a Capital One credit card, then you may have some loyalty program benefits coming up.
All right, is that it?
Is that it? No, it's not it. Do I need to get out of here? I do, huh?
We do have, we got Chris's on the backside
here.
Okay,
very quickly. And Amtrak is offering additional discounts for active duty military personnel for the next month. You get an additional 10% off. And we'll talk about resort fees and stuff like that later on in the program. And that's the travel news for today.
All right. As we mentioned, we are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And coming up next, Chris Elliott joins us. We're going to talk about tipping. Quite a controversial subject these days. And Chris, well, he may not be visiting any restaurants anytime soon after his most recent publication and articles in regards to his feelings about tipping. And we'll all share that with you coming up next here on The Travel Guys. Thanks for joining us. The Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And time to bring back one of our favorite interviewees. Is that right, an interviewee?
I think that's probably
all right.
Yeah.
Chris Elliott. Mark, why don't you tell us where we ran across Chris and what we're going to be talking about today?
Chris, of course, is our favorite travel advocate, and you can find his stuff at Elliott.org. He also has a book about how to make yourself a smarter traveler. And Chris, a couple months ago, you wrote an article about tipping specifically. I think it was one of your USA Today columns, which elicited some response. And by golly, it seems as though, Chris, I'm afraid you're going to go into a restaurant one of these days and a plate's going to come flying across the room towards you. You're out on the tipping stage again here, and you've upset a few people. Tell us a little bit about what's going on here.
Well, you're right about that. In fact, I kind of haven't gone into a restaurant since that story was published.
Well, this was a follow-up, right? I mean, this is
it's an ongoing issue because this is something that travelers face all the time is how much do I tip? Who gets the tip? Am I tipping enough? What if I don't tip enough? All those questions are so difficult to answer. And so what I wanted to do was just talk about how everyone seems to have a handout these days and who should we be tipping? And when you ask questions like that, of course, the people who do have their hands out can become very upset because they feel like they're entitled to a tip, which is what happened with the servers who ended up getting very upset about the story that I wrote and emailed me all kinds of very nasty things. And that made me rethink my restaurant visits.
And understandably so. But Chris, what this kind of comes down to, I guess, is kind of an argument about whether the service should be included as part of the meal or whether the current system of paying the servers a substandard wage and making the customers make up the difference is a better system. Is that
what
kind
it comes
of what
down
this
to? Right. Well, here's what it comes down to for the consumer is you see a price on a menu, and would you pay that price? And anything above and beyond that, you can choose to pay more, but you shouldn't feel like you have to pay more than the sticker price on any consumer item at all. The servers, and they do have a valid point, is they contend that if you walk into a restaurant in the United States, that you should know that servers are not paid a living wage and that your tips are the thing that are paying their salary, and that you should not even dare go into a restaurant unless you're prepared to pay at least a 20% tip. And I believe that actually that is incorrect, that is wrong. If a tip were mandatory, it should be included in the price of the meal, and that the problems that are going on in the back end, which is to say servers are not getting paid enough money, which is something that I readily acknowledge, is an issue that has to be worked out between Congress, the business, and the employee. It's not our problem.
Our problem being the consumer. Chris, there's been some restaurants. In fact, the one right here in Sacramento made the news rather prominently at Joe's Crab Shack, where they were going. They're eliminating any tips at all. They're just going to go ahead and pay their employees a little more money, and tips are not required. Do you see restaurants headed in that particular direction? What do you think?
No, absolutely not. And in fact, Joe's Crab Shack apparently has stopped doing that. A lot of the restaurants are not doing it anymore. It was an experiment that just didn't work out for the restaurant or for the employees or even for the customers. This is really the thing. The price that you see is the price that you should pay. Anything above and beyond that needs to be something that you do voluntarily, not something that you feel an obligation or feel like you have to do. What's really going on here, there are a couple of things going on, but the real crime, I think, is that restaurant owners are allowed to give the menu items prices that are too low. And so they lure you in with a low price, and then they expect you to tip their staff 20 or 25%. And that's just wrong. You should be able to pay for an item that you buy anywhere. It should be the sticker price is what you pay, not anymore.
And this doesn't just apply to restaurants. It applies, and perhaps part of your point here, Chris, is that the restaurant is just an example of one place where this is occurring. And I think there is a general agreement among the three of us who are on this call or in this interview right now that servers in restaurants without gratuities are underpaid. But that's not a system that any of the three of us created.
It is absolutely shameful that restaurant servers are paid what they are. They're paid below minimum wage. And in some cases, I've heard that they don't get paid at all. They rely entirely on tips, which is morally wrong to do something like that. So we are in agreement on this.
I think where
there is room for debate maybe is, should you be able to display a price that is not the actual price? Restaurants think that's okay. Hey, a lot of airlines do that. A lot of hotels do that. They display a price, but that doesn't include things like taxes or mandatory resort fees. And for restaurants, it's that 20% tip. That is factored into the price of your meal. Most people pay it, and they shouldn't have to.
And in some cases, they probably feel like they're a little bit obligated to pay it. And to some extent, they kind of are. And your point is they shouldn't feel that way. But the reality is that because the system is the way it is, and because they know that server isn't making a lot of money, sometimes when the service isn't spectacular, people still leave a tip because they feel like that they're obligated to do so. And I happen to agree with you very strongly, Chris, that we would all be better off if people made a legitimate wage and weren't sitting there with their hand out or waiting or dependent upon the generosity of strangers, basically, to make a living.
Yeah,
it's morally wrong that this is happening in America. It needs to end. You know, Congress allows this kind of thing. They allow restaurants to be exempt from the minimum wage. And that is a loophole that should be closed. Every other civilized country pays its employees, no matter what they do, a living wage. And we are the exception.
You know, it's interesting. Most everyone knows someone, has a family member, or they maybe themselves work for in a restaurant, was a server, and you know how badly they're paid. And in certain states, it's like, you know, either like you mentioned, you're working strictly for tips, or you're making a buck and a half an hour, and you have to rely on that. And I think all of us as consumers, you know, we have conditioned ourselves to feel sorry for the waiters and waitresses, and just assume that they're, you know, they're doing this because they're going to school, and this isn't a career. This is just a passing through, and therefore, you know, they tug on our heartstrings, and we tip sometimes even more than we should, simply out of you feel sorry for them.
Well, but Tom, you know,
you do. And you know, that's the thing is that you actually there's so much guilt involved here, and that was what really my story was about. It wasn't about restaurants. In fact, most of the story didn't even mention restaurants. It was about how everyone has their hands out now. Where you go into a coffee shop and there's a tip jar there. You go into a laundromat, there's a tip jar. I even talked to someone where there was an optometrist office that had a tip jar. I mean, it just shows how horrible things are when your optometrist is asking for a tip.
Okay, but guys, listen, I'm a tour operator.
Okay.
My tour directors, the people who drive the motor coaches for our tours, are tipped. I mean, we give our customers a gratuity envelope. It's fairly standard in our industry that tour directors, people tip tour guides when they're out traveling and stuff like that. I would like to think that my customers tip my staff based on the fact that they enhanced the value of their experience, that they made it better, and that they don't feel like that they have to, that they're obligated to pay this, because frankly, my tour directors and the people who drive the motor coaches that we use make a living wage. If they've done a super job and they've really busted their butt for you and made your travel experience better, and you want to reward them with a gratuity, that's fine. But I have to tell you that, you know, my tour directors, people throw gratuity envelopes generally onto a seat, and they don't put their names on the envelopes or anything. So really, you have no idea who tipped you, how much they tipped you, if they tipped you at all. You have no idea who put a dollar in the envelope or who put $100 in the envelope unless they tell you. And I try to remind my customers of that on a regular basis, that, you know, do not feel like you are obligated to do this, and don't feel like that if you didn't, that you should feel guilty, because nobody is ever going to know that you didn't. So I'd like to...
division. But as you say, there's an interesting division between the owners and the managers and the employees. The owners feel very much like you do, that it should be something done for services that are provided above and beyond. The people who are working in the trenches, the employees, the servers, feel like this is their entitlement, and they will go after that entitlement. There was a case in the story that I mentioned where someone chased a customer down the street because they didn't tip enough. And said, "Where's my tip?" And you know, that's just wrong. That shouldn't be going on.
But Chris, if you're making $2.25 an hour, then you know, I mean, then you probably feel a little bit more pressure, because if those folks are not tipping you, I get it. I think what we're pointing out here is that there are legitimate points on both sides of this issue, and perhaps it's an issue that if we talked a little bit more about it, we could come up with a solution for it, and perhaps more restaurants would consider. There are some upscale restaurants in New York who have dropped tipping and who are reporting that they are getting, that they're having less turnover on their staff, that they can get better wait staff. They're able to share the gratuity, what they've put into the meal as a gratuity, they're sharing with everybody in the house. So everybody benefits, not just the servers. So maybe there's hope. And I'm hoping that these discussions and the columns that you write will further us that way. Chris Elliott is our guest. You can go to Elliott.org if you are a consumer and you have any type of a problem with any type of travel company. I would strongly recommend it as a spot. Of course, Chris's column appears every Sunday in the Sacramento Bee.
Yeah, and Chris, the mustache and the wig for the disguise, so you can start dining out again, is in the mail.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chris Elliott. Coming up next on the Travel Guys, your favorite travel stories. Your favorite travel destination with your father. Where did you go with your dad? Where have you gone with your father? The best stories will win an American Express gift card. Call us right now at 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. 921-1530, 800-834-1530. Get on the phone now. Best travel story with your father. Coming up next on News Radio KFBK. In my mind.
Sometimes I feel that Mark is always on the road and Tom is always in his mind going somewhere, but physically just kind of stuck here in the studio. Mark, I understand you're going to be back in town for several weeks in a row.
Uh-huh.
I have an announcement to make.
Yeah.
I am leaving town for the next 40 days on an extended vacation to somewhere in my mind.
I see a text here from Clayton, says, "I want to go to the Hamptons." The Hamptons were really cool, but you have to go there before the really snooty people that come from other places that go there. I won't say where they come from because then I'll offend somebody. But
we need to tell people who we are. We're the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, and soon to be joined by Steve LaRosa. We are brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and we've got some callers waiting on the line. They're going to talk about traveling with their dads.
Where did you go with your father that you can remember?
Well, you know, we took a lot of trips. I grew up in Modesto, and we took a lot of trips down south. We never really left the state much, but we'd go down south, and the thing that was most unique, and I think people closer our age remember this, where you would pile the kids into the car in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
This is after you packed everything in the car in the back seat up to about the back of the front seat.
Right.
And then the kids, you'd take them out of bed, you'd throw them onto this kind of bed that you made back there, and you would drive in the middle of the night because, number one, you didn't have air conditioning.
Right.
Number two, the kids would be asleep, and when you woke up, you would be at your destination. Of course, by today's standards, you'd be arrested about a mile and a half from the house for not having them in the seat belt. But, you know, it was a great way to travel. You know, I remember that distinctly, and that was a lot of fun.
All right. I'm with you there. I don't have too many travel memories with my dad because I grew up Dad left when I was very young. However, when he got older and we had a chance to renew our relationship, while we had some good times at ballparks, including the last time with a couple of my brothers, we got together in St. Louis and watched some ball games there a couple of years before Dad passed. So that was kind of special. Let's hear what some of our listeners have to. Let's go to line two first. Gordon in Sacramento has a travel story with his father. Hi, Gordon.
Hello. Hi. I grew up in San Francisco, and my dad was born and raised in Hawaii, in Oahu. And he decided to take me on a trip to the Big Island. And so we landed in Kona, and next thing you know, 2 hours later, we took a trip up, I want to say it's on the west side of the island. And there was big, giant Mitsubishi propellers, and we drove down to this little cove that he knew a lot of people there. And so we got down to this little part, and it was Black Sand Beach.
Oh, yeah.
And I never saw it ever again in my life. I've seen it on TV, but I heard a few months later, and then I tried to go back and see him when my son was born, so I took my son. But I heard a few months later, it covered that whole road. And last time I'd seen it there, it looked like the moon. It was just, you couldn't even walk out to get to where it was.
So
it was over by Queen's Bath.
So you got to. So your dad took you to a place that now you can't even get to because of the lava flows.
Yeah, you can't even get in there. And a lot of locals knew about it, and not a whole lot of people knew how to get down there. And it was beautiful. That was one of the main things that I remember my dad took me, and I love him for that.
Thank you, Gordon. That's an awesome story, traveling with your dad to a black sand beach. Lorna in Somerset has a travel story with her father. Hi, Lorna.
Hi.
Welcome to the Travel Guys.
I sure like your program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I have a story about when I took my dad. He was about 95 years old, and I took him on a trip up to Seattle where he was born. And every road sign, every little sign he had to read to me. Because he told me to keep my eyes on the road, and he would tell me where to turn and everything.
Uh-huh.
But he had to read every sign.
He was the navigator.
Yes, and I let him because he was so smart and still viable, you know?
Uh-huh.
So we had a great trip.
How awesome is that? And I'll bet there were probably a few times in between when he was reading the signs when you all were just sharing a few memories along the way.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he was a talker. He really was.
Cool.
Because he was in that First World War in the Navy, the Army, and the Coast Guard.
Outstanding. Lorna, thanks for the Father's Day call. Appreciate it. Nancy in Sacramento is our next caller here with a Father's Day travel story. By the way, we've got probably room for one or two more. 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you. Thank you. I was just telling your screener about my little, I guess you'd call it a hiking trip with Dad.
Mm-hmm.
My dad passed away when I was six, and I see a lot of pictures of things, and I know the station wagon trips we made. I don't quite remember that with my dad, but I do remember the hiking trip out down the cement pathway in the backyard to the old rusty burning barrel, if you guys remember that you used to be able to burn things in your backyard.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only really memory of a trip. When he used to burn things in the backyard, we'd take the trip down the cement pathway in the backyard and burn in that old rusty burn barrel.
Isn't it funny how, as you get older, different things take on different priorities? I mean, when we ask for a travel story, immediately you think of, well, going down to the burn barrel with your dad.
A short walk down to the old burning barrel.
And I was sitting here thinking, when we were talking about travel stories with our father, of my dad traveling to California to come and watch me play in the Little League a couple of times. And each time he came, it was like 110 or 111 degrees, and Dad swore he would never come back to Sacramento again because it was such a miserable place. So thank you, Nancy. I appreciate your call. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right. We are the Travel Guys. I asked folks to call, and now we've got some folks on the line, and we're up against the clock. So if you've just called, thank you. We have to take a break now, and Steve LaRose is going to be back, and we're going to talk about Sacramento next year. We will do some more Father's Day travel stories.
All right, yeah. What's going on with Steve LaRosa next, right here on The Travel Guy. I bless the rains down in Africa.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Let's get one more Travel with Dad story here. John is in South Natomas. Hi, John. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hi. How you doing?
Hey.
I was telling you guys that the story I had. Am I on there now?
Yes, yeah, you're on the radio.
You are live with the Travel Guys.
Okay. It was a year that the Seattle World's Fair had just come to the world, you know, up there. And my father and I would be camping all over the California, and we went up to Oregon. So that year he decided, let's go up to the World's Fair, John, because just me and my father, he was separated from my mother, and I was in elementary school, you know. So I said, fine, you know, that'd be fun. So we went up there, and then we had an old stick shift Chevy. So we got into Seattle. We hit about 7, 8, 10, 12 lights, and about that time he got mad because of having to shift through traffic, and we were probably about a mile from the World's Fair. He just said, heck with it. we turned around, came back to Oregon and camped, and came back into California, finished camping, and it was 1 year to remember. I can always remember. I could see it. I could see the Space Needle, but we never made it.
So I'm going to ask you, John, have you ever been back to the Space Needle?
Never have. You've... Never have gone back there.
Wow.
We were camped everywhere when I was a kid like that.
That is a cool story. I'm glad we had time for just one more there. That almost made it all the way to the World's Fair a mile away and then didn't make it.
You know, those are the kind of stories that with your family and your dads and stuff that stick with you. Sometimes it's not the actual getting to the destination or whatever, but the kind of the oddities that occur along. I can identify with John. That's great. I remember one time being on a road trip from San Francisco back to Modesto. We had gone there to audition for a club, and we were on the Ultimate Pass. And being a talker that I am, and my dad the same, we were jabbering away. Next thing you know, we're like in Fresno. I mean, we had missed our turn to Modesto by Tracy by about 70 miles.
So it turned out okay then.
It worked out okay. John, thank you very much for the call. Thanks to all of the listeners who called in with the travel stories with their dad. It's time for us to be moving on.
Yes, my friends, the return of one of our favorite segments, a semi-regular here on the Travel Guys.
And it's semi-regular?
Yeah, it is. It's the What's Going On segment with Mr. Steve LaRosa. Steve, welcome. What the heck's going on, my brother?
And I'm semi-happy to be back with you guys.
Thank you.
A lot of stuff going on in the entertainment world in Northern California, Tom.
Okay.
Let's start off with the Sacramento French Film Festival. Now, they're going to have shows at the Crest Theater, which is, as you know, 10th and K, and also the IMAX this year. And there's shows you can still catch tonight and next weekend, Friday through Sunday, 24th through the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
They got quite a lineup.
The name of this show here, this one screening only that you have?
Je t'aime moi non plus.
How long did you practice that?
I studied with Pepe Le Pew, Tom, for many years. It's a Serge Gainsbourg film, and there's only going to be one screening, and that's Saturday the 25th at 11:20. But a bunch of them next weekend, you can still catch it.
Okay.
And now we're off to Yolo County. And you ready for this one?
Uh-huh.
Very unusual. A bat talk and walk.
A bat talk. Baseball bats or the things that fly?
Oh, I'm very sorry. Would you like to make a guess, Tom?
I don't know.
We were looking flying bats.
Give me a hint.
It's a bat talk. All I know is it's a caravan through Yolo Bypass. There you go.
There they were.
They were fluttering
my
away.
Uh-huh.
Yolo Bypass Wildlife to the viewing location. Now, you meet up at the Yolo Bypass Wildlife Area Headquarters, which is at 4521 County Road 32B Davis. Now, that's tonight.
How do you find that?
Well, on
County Road 32B in Davis.
Well, they have the numbers when you're driving down the freeway. We'll look for that particular number.
Right.
And then get off the road.
That's tonight, Tuesday and Thursday from 6:45 to 9 p.m. The phone number, 530-757-3780. And Mark, you can reassure people that if they didn't write furiously while I was talking, they can get this information
on TravelGuysRadio.com.
Okay, there you go.
And young men listening to the
radio
station.
We probably should have mentioned that before we got 50 minutes into the program, that you can get all the stuff, links to everything we talk about on the program at TravelGuysRadio.com, and along with podcasts of previous programs.
And young men that were listening, you know, this would be a great first date.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead and try to explain this to the parents.
You're a hopeless romantic. Okay, now we're off to Folsom.
Okay.
Wow. There you go, July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. It's the Folsom Pro Rodeo. We're going to have bull jumpers, mutton busting, and nightly fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody want to jump in with a comment there?
Yeah, do you know what mutton busting is?
I do.
Mark?
I do not know what a mutton busting is.
We're not going to tell you, Mark.
I'm almost
afraid. You're going to have to go.
They do a lot of things to bulls that make me cringe. Yeah. It's not pleasant. Well, I've never understood rodeos.
There's another expression for that, which I'm not going to mention right now.
This one is to sheep, by the way.
I see. Okay. Good.
The mutton.
And busting. You thought you were listening, folks. You thought you were listening to a travel program. Yes. Moving right along here.
Okay.
That's on 200 Wool Street off Natoma Street. Gates open at 6, rodeo at 7:30.
Folsom Rodeo, one of the best around.
Absolutely, it really is. One of the biggest events in town of the whole year, July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
We are now off to Lake Tahoe. It's the Valhalla Art, Music, and Theater Festival. It's a number of different events, you guys, as I mentioned in the title, Art, Music, and Theater, taking place now through August.
Mm-hmm.
Two quick examples. On June 22nd, opening night, the Earls of Newtown, Tom, you'll love this, a combination of Dixie swing with an Americana punch.
Oh, boy.
Mm.
They mix Harlem punch and New Orleans jazz traditions with Nevada City.
And this doesn't even include the Shakespeare on the Lake, which is going on the other side of the lake, also during the summer. So there's a lot of stuff to do up at Lake Tahoe during the summer.
Exactly. They're also, on June 30th, there's a number of dates following. You can find it on Travel Guys' website. But Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? You guys remember that one?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was Warden June Cleaver visiting Cliff and Claire Huxtable for a pleasant backyard barbecue, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
You have an imagination that exceeds all bounds.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We are now off to Lincoln.
Of course, arriving at the Lincoln, the Lincoln International
every 20
Airport.
Minutes at Lincoln
that's
International.
Right. Thank you, fellas. Playing there on Friday, June 24th, it's Kenny Rogers, Crystal Gayle, and Linda Davis.
All at once?
All.
I mean, not at once, obviously, but all in the same concert.
Same bill.
Wow.
Absolutely. Should be a good one.
That sounds pretty good. That's this Friday night.
Anybody want to name their favorite Kenny Rogers?
The Gambler.
Tom?
I would have to say the Gambler.
You got
to
know when to hold them and know when to fold them. That's a great
line.
You need to know when enough
plastic surgery is enough. Too.
When to walk away and when to run. Yeah.
Yeah, you got that right.
We are now off to, well, actually, we're returning to Sacramento.
Okay.
Wow. I'm glad to be home.
Holy cow, here comes
that was appropriate music. Thank you, Andrew, our board operator. It's the 37th annual Moonlight Classic, and live with us is Mr. Jeff DeMello, a board member of the SOME, the Sponsors of Musical Enrichment. And Jeff, could you tell us about this fantastic National Drum and Bugle Corps competition that's happening at Hughes Stadium on Saturday the 25th, this coming Saturday?
Yeah, hi, how you doing? We're going to have a fantastic family fun event at the SEC Stadium, Hughes Stadium. We're going to have 11 drum and bugle corps who have between them 38 national champions. It's championships. It's going to be a fantastic event. Tickets available, $30 each for reserve, $20 for general admission. And what you're going to see is some of the best moving musicians on the face of the earth.
Now, Tom, you have a pretty extensive background with drum and bugle corps.
I do. My youngest daughter was played in the drum and bugle corps, traveled across all over the United States with the Mandarins one year. And in fact, last year I had an opportunity was was honored to get an opportunity to MC and announce some of this particular program last year at Hughes Stadium. And folks, I'll tell you, if you've never had a chance to see the caliber of musicianship and marching that goes on with these groups, and you're talking about a couple of hundred people out on the field, literally covering it from goalpost to goalpost, and the musicianship and the synchronization of the marching is unbelievable.
But it's much more than that. Jeff, tell us a little bit about the showmanship that goes into these things. It's not just marching and music.
Yeah, it's a pageantry event. You've got fantastic brass lines of consisting about 70, 80 brass and drum lines and color guard, all working in synchronization for a fantastic effect. And what you'll see is these young people dedicating their lives to doing something like this. They're rehearsing 12 hours a day when they're not performing shows and traveling across the country. So what you see is pretty much the best of the best that young people can perform at, the high performance levels.
But they'll do something like a James Bond theme or Who's rock opera Tommy or things like that, right?
Oh, yeah, you'll have a lot of different themes, jazz-based, you'll have classical-based, the Blue Devils C-Corps, the little kids, they're doing a police show base, so you get a lot of police music. There's all sorts of fun out there this year.
And Steve, they get big crowds for this, if I'm remembering correctly, right?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, very big crowds.
What are you, around 5,000 people last time, Jeff?
We're looking at that. We're hoping for it, so that's why we're here to push the show and try to get people show up. It's a fantastic place to bring your whole family, from your grandparents down to your kids.
And Mark, you're going to have the ticket information on?
We will, travelguysradio.com.
Okay. Excellent, Jeff. Well, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. You guys are having a lot of fun there.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great show. All right. We are the Travel Guys, and that pretty much wraps up the
what's going on.
That's all I got, fellas.
That's all you got. Well, Jesus. Kenny Rogers and everything. I'm over here making notes. Whenever he goes down one of these lists, I have to make notes of where I'm supposed to go and what I'm supposed to do and stuff like that. Because
now that you're home for a couple of weeks.
LaRosa knows everything. You know, okay, we have a sports leisure vacations winner. Every week we draw a winner for a travel card here. We haven't had a winner for 3 weeks. Of course, we didn't have a show last week because of the Orlando situation and the news coverage. So this is a $300 travel card to Joe Samora. Joe went with us to see Carol Burnett down in Oakland a couple of weeks ago. So, Joe, if you're listening today or someone who knows you is listening, call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday and win a $300 travel card.
Well, there you go. Okay, and don't forget now, you can go to travelguysradio.com. There you'll see information and links to everything we talked about, and particularly it's going to be handy for you to hunt down all of that. In fact, let's hear that What's Going On music one more time. For all the things of what's going on around the Sacramento area, do we still have that piece of music, Andrew? He lost it.
He's scrambling.
700, cut one.
You saw Andrew running through the...
We'll use this as our exiting music for today.
Next week on the Travel Guys, we'll have some authentic new travel music from the land down under. Something you won't want to miss, I promise.
Play your didgeridoo, Lou.
Yeah, absolutely.
Time to kangaroo down, boys.
Yeah, that'll be it. All right, we are the Travel Guys. You have a nice week. Mark and Tom, we'll see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Bye for now.